TV Campfire Podcast.
Have you seen it yet? OMG.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken
record. Oh, no! We're fans.
It just goes up from there.
Oh! All right, we got to a whole different level.
No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
She is the most useless one-dimensional character ever.
Premiere of Spartacus.
Vengeance.
Welcome to the show.
This is podcast number 133, and I am Libby, your host, and this week we have returning guests.
Hi, I'm Tom from Glendale.
And I'm Ronnie from Vegas, but I'm in the house.
Yay! I like to hear that. All right, in the news, a lot of stuff got renewed this week,
yep.
And let's just go through the list that I have. Homeland, Vegas, Arrow, and Elementary. Yep. All been picked up for, not renewed, sorry.
Picked up for
the full season. Actually, let me be clear. Vegas, Arrow, and Elementary picked up for the full season. Homeland got renewed for a third season.
Three.
Yes.
All right.
So there we go.
Woohoo!
Anybody else have any news?
I don't.
Not of note.
No. Not of note. All right. Let's start off and talk about Homeland.
Woo!
I have to say, is this show aware that they have to do a finale for the season?
And they just got picked up for season three?
Yeah, it's like, you need to pace yourself. Like, at episode two, they did the big surprise where Saul found out that, you know, that Brody was in on it. And I was
like, they lay a long season.
Yeah, a whole trap. And then this week, they're just like, you know what? We're just going for it. I was like, what are you guys doing? I mean, I trust them because so far it's been really good, but I'm terrified that they're going to
run out of story,
yeah.
I think they've got tricks up their sleeve.
I believe that mainly because they pulled off season one, and I didn't believe that they would have made that really interesting, and it was incredible.
I heard a rumor somewhere that the initial plan was that season one would end his story, and then they'd continue on with her.
Right.
Which is what I thought they should have done on 24, let somebody else take the lead. But evidently they saw the chemistry between them and they're like, oh, no.
Yeah, those two have incredible chemistry.
Well, that bar scene. Should we back up?
Okay.
Talk about the beginning before we get to the end.
Okay, sure, let's do that. Okay, what do you mean?
No, just the way the episode unfolded, because his wife's still angry because of...
And that she gave him the ultimatum, either tell me the truth or
I'm
leave.
Out of here.
Right,
yep.
And he left.
And then his veteran buddy, the disabled veteran buddy, basically knows that there's something wrong and that he was somehow possibly in cahoots with the others.
Well, because he was like, he's a sniper, so you needed somebody to pairs. And he was like, yeah, he's totally in on it. And he's like, and he probably... what's funny is they're right, except they're wrong. Like, they think that he was working for the CIA to do this mission.
That's their guess.
And so... they're completely wrong about that, but they're right about the other thing. And I'm just like, you know what? Brody is a dangerous man. That's what I was thinking.
See, and again, I thought that they would let that kind of germinate where they go to the CIA or raise noise and people connect the dots. But no! we've got another plan.
Oh, man. They have the storyline with the daughter and
the vice president's
son. I'm not sure where that's going, but I have to say I like the daughter enough that it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Usually teenage hookups on a show like this would annoy me, but I'm okay with it.
I like when the daughter got in the vice president's face.
Oh, snap! Yeah, she totally snapped him off. And he actually had to leave the room.
Yep.
He was just like, okay, I have been shown my...
I have been burned.
Yeah, thank you. So that was all pretty good. But then, of course, the major thing is... Oh, they introduced a new guy who I didn't like.
The
guy who's in
Rupert's,
charge of the team.
Rupert Friend or whatever. Exactly.
Yeah, so he's basically... like, they've set up this whole observation thing to watch Brody. And they have this new guy that's supposed to be in charge of the team. But nobody on the team trusts him. And nobody knows who he is. And it seems like everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. And on top of it, he's a jerk. So,
but I love the brother of the main guy, you know, the guy who helped Carrie surveil Brody's house.
Oh,
in
right.
Season one, his younger brother, who was always quiet and looking shifty, like on 24.
Right.
And then when he says, "I always believed you, Carrie,"
that was funny, and everybody just looked at him like, "Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Whatever."
Of course, let's get to the crux, which is
Sting operation.
Well, yeah, they basically were like, "Okay, we want you to run into Brody," so he panics and he calls his. his handler, which is exactly what happened, but they didn't have any sound up, so they didn't know who the heck he ended up contacting.
And why didn't they wait and start profiling people after they ran into each other? Forget the car wash people. Everybody else...
Yeah, they wanted... Well, because he was... They said they were doing racial profiling.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, the main thing is, obviously... He talked to his handler after he saw her, but the question is, who did he talk to? And I'm like yelling at the screen, like, come on, figure it out. And so you have that scene, and that scene went pretty much exactly how I expected. Mm-hmm. They do the meet, he gets nervous, their awkward conversation, she's trying to be polite, he's trying to figure her out, and it went exactly as you thought the episode was going to go.
And she walks away grinning because she knows she's got him.
Right. And then they throw the hook, which is... He calls her because he wants to scope out how much information she knows.
Yep.
So he calls her to the bar, and they have this really awkward, tense conversation at the bar.
And it was interesting. There's a point in that scene where she was staying on book.
Right.
And then once he started getting to the medical stuff and the electroconvulsive therapy...
He got her skin.
He got to her, and she's like, you son of a... You know what? I'm going to get you back.
And that's the thing is, she's like, I think I've been made. I was like, no, you're just mad. I don't think he made her.
I don't think it's an accident that he said the hotel room.
Oh, no, he wanted her to come up to his room.
He wanted her to come up.
Yeah, he did, but I think it was for sex. I don't think it was for, you know, I don't know what she thought.
Sex, murder, whatever.
Yeah, well, he wasn't going to kill. He did, like he said, he liked her. I think it was for sex. But because she was mad about what she had been through and it was his fault,
yep.
She was just like, she just wanted to punish him.
Yes, she
and she
did.
Totally flipped the script.
Yes, she did.
Outed him, outed everything to where you just see the look on his face, like when she's telling him that she knows and she's got evidence, he's thinking, should I kill her now? How should I get rid of her the body?
Yep,
like you can see his mind is trying to figure out how to get her body out of the hotel room. And she's just kind of like, yes, you could kill me, but, you know, and I was like, and he was like, yeah, I've got enough practice with that. And he's just like, holy crap. And Saul is like, don't touch her. So basically, yeah, they have now captured him, thrown a bag over his head,
yes,
and taken him to their equivalent of Guantanamo, in wherever they're in.
Rendition, baby.
And I'm like, holy crap.
This,
like,
was episode 4.
What? So now I'm kind of like, so are we going to break him? Is that? And I was like, dude, he spent 8 years in a prison. You are not going to break this guy anytime soon. So, I have no idea where the show is going, and it's fantastic.
And the thing is, it puts the vice president in a tricky position.
Well, he doesn't know.
Right, because he doesn't know Jack, but he doesn't know that he's the main reason that Brody was turned by, you know, by, what's his name?
Abu Nazir.
Abu Nazir. Yeah, because I guess the vice president was kind of Cheney-esque.
Yeah.
No, great show. These writers have huge brass cojones.
Yeah, this is amazing. This, like, oh, this is why you got the Emmy. All right.
Emmys.
I know.
Plural. All
right, next up, let's talk about Once Upon a Time.
Captain Hook, yes.
I saw the preview and thought I was going to hate this episode, but then once I saw it, I was like, all right, I kind of liked it. I like, you know what saved it was Mr. Gold. It wasn't a story about Captain Hook. It was a story about Mr. Gold.
Yeah, and when you go to Gold, you can't lose.
Yeah.
This is true. And I think, you know, because I keep getting worried because how many more characters do they need to bring in? But like you were saying, what saved this one is that because it was more of the backstory of Mr. Gold. So
right.
It really worked. And
yeah.
And to me, it's interesting though, because now we have another dimension. It's like this show is getting crazy.
Well,
now
we're on another dimension.
Because Neverland. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
It's like when you think about it, there's all these different, you know, there's Storybrooke, you know, who knows about reality, but there's all these different places.
And we've been to Wonderland too.
Right. And
yeah.
then plus now, like, you know, sort of, there's, besides Storybrooke, there's like this one, and I forgot what's the original land.
Enchanted Forest.
Enchanted Forest.
There's only a little part of that, but then how, you know, I mean, it's like, it's just, this show is just getting crazy.
I kind of wish they would not throw, I mean, like, put a limit on how many characters we're going to throw in a given season.
Right.
Because
yeah.
I have
we got Lancelot, we got Captain Hook, we got Milan.
Although Lancelot is backstory. He's dead in the present world.
Right.
Thanks to the Queen Mother. Right. The evil queen mother.
Yes. Yeah, there are so many characters. Like, and who's Mr. Whale? And it's like, there's just so many people.
Well, that's the big mystery so far that they kind of have dropped for a while.
Right.
I know, but it's just, yeah, you have a point. I'd rather they're going to have the same problem that Lost had, which is
too
many people, and you're not concentrating on your core. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And it's getting too convoluted with all these people are all split up in these different lands, and how's it all, you know what I mean? It's like, let's keep it a little bit more simple, you know?
Despite my misgivings with Lost, and there are many, especially toward the end, but one thing they at least did is every season was quasi-self-contained.
Right.
I mean, they all dovetail. You know, season one was about finding the hatch. Season two was about what's in the hatch.
Right.
Season three is when they got lost, locked in cages, and they were lost, locked in cages.
Yeah, right. this does not seem like that has a particular theme. Well, the first season was about breaking the spell.
Yes.
Right.
So, it'll be, well, hopefully we'll figure out what is the overarching, is there a big bad, air quotes?
Well, I think the mom is.
Well, yeah. The mom is, but then also, I mean, the thing that this episode revealed is with Mr. Gold, how that the reason why he brought the magic back in, but also that's what ended up now trapping him again. And so really it is Mr. Gold's story overall, because he's the one who needed to get to this world, and he's still in pursuit of his son, but now there's another issue, because if he leaves Storybrooke,
he'll lose his memory.
And so now he's got to figure out, how does he break the magic that he invoked to get his son? And so I think, you know, that's what we've got to follow along, because all these things are getting added onto it, but we've got to follow Mr. Gold through the craziness.
And I think as long as we follow Mr. Gold, or a major character, I think we're fine. I miss Emlyn, her mom. I miss...
Yes.
Like, that storyline is really good. And
we
I'm
just
like,
got,
can
like
we get
a snippet of them at the end.
Yeah, right? And I'm kind of like, well, not even on this one. We can get any of them.
Oh, none of them?
No, they weren't in this one at all.
Right.
So I really am just like, can we get to that story? That's the interesting story. I mean, I'm not mad at Mr. Gold, because I do like him and Belle. I like that story. So I wasn't actually angry, but which is what I thought was going to happen. I thought it was like, oh, this is going to suck because we're not dealing with Emma. But, okay, fine. I'm all right with it. So anyway, overall, this episode was pretty good, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, and they have, for the back nine episodes, Captain Hook will be a lead, not just a regular.
Oh, really?
He'll be in the title credits.
Really? I don't think I need him.
You didn't like him?
He's okay. I don't need him to be a main character, though.
I like him. I like the job.
Evidently, in the present, he's going to be an adversary for Gold.
Well, yeah, of course.
Gold's going to have his hands full. Evil Queen's coming from,
Evil Queen's coming for the Queen.
Right,
well,
for
Queen
Regina.
Mother's coming for Regina. But still, he's got this list of people he's screwed over.
And when you think about it, at the beginning of this season, there was that person who got the postcards. We don't even know who that is.
Isn't that Mr. Whale?
No.
Oh, no, it's
different.
Dr. Whale. That's right.
Right.
That's somebody else who figured
And so he's got to, like, enter in. You know, it's like, it's just, it feels like, God, there's so many characters to try to keep up with. Like you said, and I miss, you know, sort of some of the core ones that they established.
Exactly. All right. Let's move on.
Moving on. But thumbs up, I'd
say. This particular episode, thumbs up.
Yes.
Next up is new episode of The Walking Dead.
Wow.
I have to say, I like this one better than the premiere. The premiere was, you guys were raving about it, and I thought it was all right. This episode, I liked it a lot better because we got to see Rick at his full darkness.
Yeah, we did.
He was killing innocent, well, not innocent, but but humans. And the whole point of The Walking Dead is you kill the dead, you the living stick together. That's pretty much been the rule.
Yeah, but when the dude threw the zombies on him.
Well, I know. Like, that was the point where I knew. Yeah, that was the point where I knew Rick was going to kill him. And because though I liked his conversation with his wife, where she's like, do what you got to do to keep us safe. And he goes, yes, you say that now, but what about, you know, 5 minutes later?
Yeah.
And she's like, you know what? I was wrong. Do what you got to do. And so he's like, all right. But, and I understood him killing the guy, the alpha, because there's two alpha males. And you can't have a situation that close quarters having two alpha males. It just doesn't work.
No.
So one of them had to go, and they both realized that. They were both looking at each other like, one of us is going to have to go.
and one of us is the star of this show.
he didn't get that memo. So that was all really good. Like, I knew he was going to kill that guy. Like,
mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to happen a little later, but as soon as that dude threw the zombie at him, I was like,
you're done.
Yeah, you're gonna have to kill him. And I thought that, because remember, what's Daryl? Daryl's name? Yeah, he was like, say the word and I'll take him out for
you.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I thought he was just going to say word. I thought that was, I was waiting for that.
No. Rick's not going to let Daryl do his bidding.
That's true.
Like, I'll do my own dirty business.
Thank you very much. And he stuck that hatchet in the dude's head. I was like, oh. And it felt like it came out of nowhere. Like you knew he was going to do it. But then when he did it, you were like, so, and I had no problem with him killing that guy, but I kind of felt the second dude, I don't know, man. Like, only thing he was trying to do was protect his friend. And Rick let him be eaten. That was kind of uncool. That was the moral gray area. That's not even gray. I think that was wrong.
He shouldn't have run.
Well, he thought he was going to get killed. Rick should have just been like, you know what? We're not going to kill you. And fine. Or when the guy realized he was surrounded by zombies and he came back, Rick should have let him in. I think
Rick didn't trust him.
I understand that, but not trusting somebody and letting them be eaten by zombies, two different levels.
When it's life or death, and when somebody's putting the group in peril, I side with Rick on this one. Except, it was cold.
It was very cold.
But
then he let the other ones live. So
the other two. Well, the one dude who looks like the white dude with the funky mustache.
Oh, I think that dude's super evil.
You think so?
Oh yeah, I think that the black dude who was very much like I've never begged for my life before. I'm not going to start now. That guy I trust because he was honest and I believe what he says. So I actually think they probably could trust him. The mustache guy, I think he's super evil. I think that he's pretending to be helpless. He's the one guy that's always, oh, don't bother, I'm just the helpless guy. Don't hurt me. There's something about him.
Speaking of lust, kind of like with Henry Gale.
Yeah. I feel like that dude is evil.
I'm just an innocent victim.
Yeah. he's not as good as an actor, I really do feel like he's your sneak attack, helpless guy, and will totally slit your throat.
I don't know if we're going to be dealing with these guys anymore.
Yeah, they're all living in the same prison.
Well, but we're going to... I mean, the big arc for this season...
is with the governor. I understand, but the governor, I think, is going to come to the prison. I think they're going to have to work with those guys. Because, like I said, the black dude, at least, that's extra muscle you're going to need. So, yeah. I was surprised. I thought there would be more prisoners to survive.
I was surprised that Herschel got to live.
That too.
As a human.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, after the leg chopping.
But I guess that's from the comics. In the comics, it's Dale.
That gets the leg chopping.
That happens to Dale, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But since he's long gone.
He got his intestines eaten out in front of him. That was so nasty.
But no, it's... I'll be interested to see if they get a ratings boost simply because Dish settled their dispute with AMC.
Oh,
so last Sunday was the first time that AMC... the Dish people could watch
it. I was about to say, the ratings for it were already really high.
Yeah, but could they? I mean, people subscribe to Dish.
All right.
You never know. We'll see.
All right, next up, let's talk about Alphas. It was the season finale. And last week we thought it was a season. It looked almost like the finale last week, but this week was definitely finale.
Yes.
So what'd you think?
And we got, actually, I enjoyed it. You know what I mean? And like, especially that we get to see Danny like sort of come back, you know, sort of like guy.
But I actually felt like Danny felt evil in her ghost version. She kept telling him to do really bad things. And I was like, is that really her? Well, that was really his conscience, right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Because I was like, man, Danny doesn't normally sound like that.
Right, but her ghost was very directed. Are you know what I mean? Or like his subconscious was very much more directed. Because but he needed that to get through because he was shot. You know what I mean? And if he needed something to help him get to Stanton and to see that happen. The one thing I was
a bit let down though. All that determination to get to Stanton, and then he goes, "Oh, you know what? This is the wrong thing." I was like, "Really? Now you figure out it's the wrong thing? Like, come on."
So. But see, the thing is, I thought that, you know, sort of when the lights, you know, sort of flickered or, you know, the whatever, I thought that it made the alphas, you know, sort of like enhance their power.
It does.
But then why did everybody, down?
Well, they, because, well, I don't know why he's still standing. Gary should be out, too. Like, it should have knocked everyone out. And then the alphas wake up stronger. That's what it's supposed to be.
So,
but then it kills humans.
Right.
Regular humans, when the lights go, they go out and they're dead. Alphas go down and then they wake up stronger. But the fact that Gary didn't go down at all is weird. Like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe because he's autistic, but...
Or maybe because he was, like, doing stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, because he wasn't looking at the lights. He was looking at his little internal thing. Maybe. Right. I don't know. But, yeah, he totally was unaffected. But I really felt bad for him because Gary's like a kid. And he was surrounded by dead bodies. Like, I mean, it was just... There were bodies everywhere. And he was totally freaked out. He was looking for the people that make him feel safe. And everybody was unconscious.
Exactly.
And so he's freaking out right there. And I was like, oh, Gary.
But he's grown so much. Because it was a great, even like the scene with him and his mom. You know what I mean? And that his mom says, no, you go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you go save the world because that's what you do.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah. That was nice. Really nice. Yes.
And I liked how his mom was like, she was awake, but like she was like a stroke. Something was wrong where she looked like she was awake, but she wasn't really there. She wasn't lucid. And he's like, yes, my mom's awake, but she's much more boring now.
Gary's is awesome. They don't show enough of him. I hate that they just don't.
It was pretty good. Like, yes. His dialogue is always really good. But Stanton Parrish, even though I'm mad that they didn't finally kill him after they finally figured out how to kill him.
Yes.
And then they don't. I mean, I'm mad about it, except that I love the actor playing Stanton Parrish.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I mean, he is a brilliant villain. I am usually of the rule of your big bad, one and done. One season and out. That is usually how I feel. However, after I say that...
Now, wait a second.
After I say that, I think that the ego / mind games that Dr. Rosen and Parrish do, or Stanton do with each other, are fantastic.
They are.
You see him more as like a Moriarty.
Yeah, like the, oh, man. Because basically, every evil plan that Stanton has, at the end of the day, it's like he's trying to prove something to Rosen. He wants Rosen to understand why he's doing what he's doing.
Good.
And because remember, he was really upset when he thought Rosen was dead. He almost killed somebody.
Right. Because Rosen is in his plans, you know what I mean, sort of moving forward.
Yeah, but the plan is he's always wanted Rosen to be on his side. Like, he's always, a lot of things that he's done has always been about, I have to convince Rosen that I'm right. I want him on my side. But I'm like, there's no real reason for that because, one, he's not an alpha, so there's no reason that he should care. But because Rosen's so smart and Rosen has such a position that he has, he feels like if I can prove to Rosen...
Well, I don't know if it's that strong, though. I mean, I think he wants him, but I don't think he has sort of that much of an affinity.
I do.
I don't.
Yeah, I feel
it's
like that.
I feel like you're taking it a little bit too far.
No, because they've been playing mind games with each other all this time.
Right, but a lot of it was, you know, especially after Danny's death, you know what I mean? And that raised it up a notch.
But even before that, they were obsessed with each other. They really were. Yes, they were.
Because, I mean, because they're on opposite sides. But I think they were not needing that approval.
I think they were still obsessed with each other, especially Rosen. Remember when he captures him? It was earlier in the season. Okay. He captures him, and they have this conversation, and they're just the way they talk to each other is like, I want you to see. Stanton has always been like, what I'm doing is for the greater good, and I need you to see it. He's basically said that a couple of times. And then Rosen gets like, you're wrong. And he also called Rosen on his power hungriness. I mean, that's not a word. But
power hunger.
Because Rosen is power. Underneath his happy professor, nice guy persona, he does have the really dark side of wanting power and being in control. He absolutely does. Hmm. And it's his ego. Is it like...
Right, and so I think... But I think it's better to say because, if anything, Stanton Parrish needs an equal. Somebody else who can understand at the depth that he does.
Right.
And everybody, nobody else around him does.
Right.
And Rosen does. And so I definitely see the tension there. But I don't think... But it's almost... I think I was getting mixed up because it seems like you were saying that Parrish is trying to get his approval.
He is.
And I don't think it's so much approval as just he needs somebody with the same understanding sort of as him. And so it's an approval.
But the thing is, he does think, sometimes he does doubt whether what he's doing is right or not. And I think that if he can get Rosen to give him the stamp of approval, then his conscience will be clear because he's planning on killing millions of people. So, you know what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so.
Yes, we'll wrap it up. I'll bring it up later because it reminds me of something in another show. But
all right.
We'll talk about that later.
All right. Next up, we're going to talk about Vegas. And this episode.
Go, Michael Chiklis. Or what's it, Savino?
Yeah. I like the fact that his ambition is makes him different than all the other gangsters, that he's really interesting.
Yes.
And everybody else doesn't understand what he's doing. They're like, why are you just not hanging with the status quo and getting your cut? You know, like, what are you doing?
He's got dreams.
Yeah, big ones. Yeah, big honking ones.
Definitely.
And I don't understand why those Detroit guys really thought that they could take him out. I'm like, I think, what are you doing? Because even if they had managed to kill him like they were planning, the Chicago mob would have still retaliated.
Mm-hmm.
So those guys were dead either way. So, yeah, that's insanity.
Yes.
But I thought the mob story was really interesting this week. I don't remember what happened to the cop story.
The cop story was the black housekeeper.
Yes.
So I'd be interested to find out how. Well, Ronnie, you're from Vegas. Did you see the show?
Yes.
Are they playing fast and loose with history, with the union stuff, and with the racial tension stuff? Or
and actually, I was actually glad for them to see that because I don't know a whole bunch about the history. So actually, it's kind of fun just to watch, you know, sort of just go back to that time. But yeah, I mean, but you know, sort of like
the union. Historically, the unions were part of the the mob. That's
right.
Historically.
Right.
Yes. And so it did sort of ring true. But again, I'm not like sort of the best with sort of Vegas history.
I just thought it was interesting that 2 weeks in a row we had two episodes in a row we had cases where an African American was prominent, and this one she was the victim and the last one ended up being the
hero. Well, yeah, actually,
the unwitting
killer.
Killer, right.
Yeah. I like they're dealing with racial issues. It's kind of interesting.
Definitely. And especially this one, because when it goes to, like, her father and that whole, I mean, it opens up this whole can of worms, besides just sort of, like, the union. I really like that they explored sort of the racial issue.
And I like the red herring. You think it's the mother, and it wasn't the mother.
Exactly.
It was the co-worker.
The co-worker that thought that she got more than she deserved.
Right.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
I thought the stuff with Quaid... Quaid's character grieving his wife was kind of interesting. The way they did it.
Oh, why
the tree was so important.
Yeah,
the brother didn't seem to get that. I was watching this episode, and they got picked up for a full season, so they're safe. But I figured out what's kind of gnawing at me. It's kind of a hybrid. They're doing the cop story as like the case of the week.
Right.
But the mob story, they're approaching more like a basic premium cable show.
Right.
So the
mob story is ongoing in one big storyline,
right.
And then the cop story they give to, because that way you can have new viewers come in whenever and watch the cop story. And if you don't understand the mob story, that's only half the story.
Yeah,
right.
So that's interesting. I'm glad it's doing well. I think it is the top rated new drama.
Oh really?
And
Elementary, I thought.
What?
$10 million for Elementary.
No, this is like 14.
Okay.
14, 15 million viewers. But I thought that was interesting. I just wish they would find out that the DA is crooked.
I think they just did figure it out.
Okay.
I think cops walked in and he saw him?
Yes.
But
he had the cover story.
Yeah, but I don't think he believed it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but I'm just like, okay, come on. Let's figure that out. If you're going to put Trinity there, put her in. But, I don't mind the actor who plays him. He comes up and he played the Reverend on Vampire Diaries,
who tortures
his church, and the vamps are getting the blame. But man, they've done nothing with the. He's Johnny One Note as a character in this show.
Well, he's dating the girl now.
The daughter of the blonde.
Yes. Yeah, so he's dating her.
And I'm not sure what that's going.
That could be interesting. That's what I'm saying. That could be interesting.
Right.
I just don't find his character compelling.
Not yet. We'll see.
She's interesting.
Yes. All right.
Moving on. The next one we're going to talk about is Go On.
Aww.
It was a fun episode.
It really was.
And this time they established, I'm not a ghost, I'm your memory.
Right.
They really should have said that in the first episode.
But I like the fact that they're celebrating. Well, for me, it was my birthday.
Yeah.
I actually watched it on
my birthday.
On my birthday. So I really liked the whole episode. I was I should have done that for my birthday. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, we're not getting a limo. We can't afford that kind
no,
of
No, not the limo, but the treasure hunt.
The scavenger hunt. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, I was like, scavenger hunt, that's brilliant. Totally need to do that.
Except I don't think you look like Rachel Maddow. I love that they're keeping that ongoing joke.
That's awesome. Except for when gas prices as high as they are, maybe it's, unless we carpool for the scavenger.
Yeah, that was all pretty good.
I thought the Sid Charisse runner was kind of fun too, and the fact that the crazy dude with. Is that the one with the crazy dude with the beard?
Oh, right. And she ended up being friends with him because they were fans of the same movie.
Yeah,
and dance.
I thought that was nice.
Especially them dancing together was pretty good. I was like, wow, he actually did something halfway normal and human.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the first time.
I think so, yeah. He tells her,
that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
He is so creepy. He is real. Like, I feel like, dance with him in a lighted public area. Do not go anywhere in the car.
But I really like the way that they handled it, because of the limo, and it was because this is what the wife set up.
And set up so far in advance.
I know. But I love the way that they set it up. And I thought, the most priceless moment when they were out on the balcony, she was there and he was working through that, and the fireworks go off.
Oh.
And she tries to take credit for the fireworks. That was awesome.
He's like, that's Dodger Stadium. That's pretty good. All right. So that was a good episode. Thumbs up.
Yes.
Next up. We're going to talk about Arrow.
Woo-hoo.
And this week, our villain was Deadshot. Which, the thing about, the only problem with having Deadshot as a villain is I was like, and he's not. Oh, they did kill him.
Deadshot?
I was pretty sure they weren't going to kill him. No, they didn't kill him.
No, they didn't kill him.
Because you think he's dead, but he's not.
Right.
Because that's what I was kind of like, well, if you have Deadshot as your villain, you're not killing him in the first episode we see him in. Because he's too awesome of a bad guy. So I was like, okay, there's no tension here. But I did like the fact that the cop was smart enough to be like, so he's shooting bow and arrows and guns now? Like, he's like, I don't think so. He's like, he came here, shot a bow and arrow, and then went back to the roof and shot him with a sniper rifle. And the other cop was like, yeah, it's simple. Really? Come on. The one thing I will have to say about Arrow I want to point out, they have three men of color as semi-main characters.
Yes. I know, one of them is a series lead, Diggle.
Yeah, but okay. I'm saying, I'm counting all three, I'm giving a title for all three of them. So you have the partner on the police force, you've got Diggle, and you've got the husband.
The stepdad.
Yeah. Yes. So, and there was a scene where all three of them were in the room at the same time, and I was like, huh. I was like, that's not very common, especially on a CW show.
Seriously.
That's really not very common.
But the one we're supposed to focus on is Diggs, because at the end of the episode, he had to. Because he was given those looks before, and when he picks up the lid of the trash can,
and
in the hallway,
he's like, "What's that? That's weird." Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the thing is, he was running out of ways to run away from Diggle,
from Diggs, and ditch him,
and stuff like that. So he really did have to tell him. And so when he did the reveal, I was like, yes. And then next week, it doesn't look like it goes very well. But because they show a quick clip of them fighting.
We'll see more.
We'll see.
Sure,
but I mean, he's good. Yeah. But no, well, it looked like he hadn't explained himself yet. So I'm sure once he explains to Diggs, like, okay, this is what's happening. This is what I'm doing. I think it's going to be cool. And also, the guy's special forces, of course you can use him.
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's like Alfred.
Yeah, except way higher than the train.
Except for in the prime of his fighting life, not over the hill.
Yeah.
Exactly, yes.
So I think that's a perfect sidekick right now. Even though, I mean, because one, he could actually practice their fighting together because he could get better. There's so many reasons why you want him on your team.
Exactly.
I thought it was interesting the whole thing with Tommy and Laurel also.
Oh, that coming out?
Yeah, well, but he knew.
Right, and she was like, she could tell that he knew. I like that she was like, yes, of course you saw he knew, because did you see his face? So that was all pretty good. The sister is starting to annoy.
Yeah.
I get where they're going with that.
It's the same note. It's the same.
The only thing I have to say that's interesting about it is you get to see, even though the mom is super evil, you get to see her really trying with her daughter. And I think that's an interesting relationship thing. So I like that part.
And the island backstory is kind of
I want to see more.
Like, who are those soldiers?
They are just, like, parsing that out like breadcrumbs.
Yeah, but I'm like, for a deserted island, you've got a lot of people on your deserted island, man. You've got the guy with the bow who speaks Mandarin. Because I was like, why does he come back from this island speaking 10 languages? And it's because there's apparently a million people on this deserted island. So now you got fully equipped soldiers on the island, too. And I'm like, what is going on? The island is totally the Lost Island.
I was going to say, it's Lost Island.
Don't go there. Yeah. Don't go there.
I'm telling you, it's because you got so many crazy different things going on.
I thought this was stronger than last week's episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And Deadshot was an awesome villain. So yeah. Watching them go head to head.
And John Barrowman next week. And obviously, he's involved with Mom up to no good.
See? And that's okay. This is John Barrowman. I will have a smile on my face the whole time. Alright, next up, let's talk about Supernatural. And I will bring the caveat before we start talking. I watched the first 20 minutes straight, and then I started fast-forwarding. So my opinion is skewed. I will say that.
And I actually watched it with Livia.
Okay, I will opine, having watched the whole thing.
Okay.
When it first started, I'm like, oh no, they're going to do their version of a found footage movie slash Chronicles slash every other
found footage activity. Yeah.
And so at first I was like, you guys suck, I can't believe you're doing this, blah, 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 blah.
That was pretty much my feeling.
But as it went on, they got me. And it's an atypical episode because Sam and Dean are hardly in it. It's basically about these the three kids.
Well, I mean, we know what it's about. We saw the episode.
Okay.
Yes.
But so basically, how one of them gets the bite and how it affects all of them, and then the other.
Yeah, and then the other one gets like super strong, and he's all like showing off his super strength, and then bodies start showing up without hearts. When I say we fast forwarded, we fast forwarded and paused and watched stuff, and we're like, it's still boring. And
I thought it was. I kind of wish they would get back to the main storyline.
Yeah,
right.
But as a diversion, it was it was fine. It was fine. I mean, I'll give it a very weak thumbs. Kind of angular. It's not sideways. It's not up. It's like at a 45 degree angle.
I think we might have hurt somebody if we actually had to sit through the whole episode. I was getting irritated because I understood what they were doing as far as introducing us to new characters and giving us the backstory, and I'm like, that would be fine if I was watching a movie. We're not watching a movie. We're watching Supernatural. What are you doing? And yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, Tom, could you pick a point where it turned for you or where it got interesting?
Just basically when the one friend was just so eager to, bite, he basically is wanting his friend to bite him when they figure out what he is, and he wouldn't do it. And so he sets the trap for the professor, catches him, and blackmails him.
Into biting him.
And then, of course, Sam and Dean rush in to say, to kill the prof.
Yeah, at least I saw that part.
Okay.
But then when they both have the... Yeah, it gets ugly.
Yeah, I know. There's body parts all over the walls, blood everywhere. Yeah, we saw that.
Okay.
And then, I like the twist. I do have to say I like the twist of the girl actually being bitten
She's the sole survivor.
Right. And she was like, I never killed anybody. And I like she left the note for the hunters.
I never killed any human.
Right. That's what she said. Okay. She's like, I only eat animal hearts. I've never killed anybody. Give me a chance. And she just basically, she wanted them to see her story so that they wouldn't come hunt her. Like, I thought, so that's smart. I was like, if everybody's dead, who freaking cut this movie? But then you realize that she's not dead and she cut it. And then I went, oh, okay. And I think that was interesting. That was an interesting plea. And what's also interesting about the episode is that last season, Dean would have still gone after her.
Yes. And because of whatever happened to him in
Purgatory.
Okay, Purgatory. So, my bestie the vamp.
Yeah, so then he has no stones to throw. So he's just like, you know what? All right, fine.
And Sam is kind of surprised by that.
Sam is very surprised. Because Sam would have let her go. Yes. But Dean would have been like, we have to go get her. And now Dean's like, yeah, whatever.
Do I really see awesome that much?
Yes, you do. And he's like, awesome.
No.
Gotta love Dean.
45 degree thumb from Tom.
I did like the end. I thought the end was interesting, but that's about it. So, all right. Moving on. Next up, Modern Family, and this was their Halloween episode.
It was a fun episode.
And I have to say, what adds value to this episode is if you've seen the other Halloween episodes. Yeah, so that really works for the... Like, you didn't have to see any other episodes of the entire show, but as long as you've seen all their Halloween episodes, this has great payoff. Because it was... Because she... what is it? Claire?
Claire.
Claire has always done 150% for Halloween, and her Halloweens are always extravagant, and she goes crazy. Yes, like, she does. Literally loses her mind doing the perfect thing for Halloween. But she's got a reputation now that people are afraid to bring their children to her house.
Yeah, when you have the alien monster come out of your stomach for the kids, that is kind of... Well, we've been over the top.
Well, know? I mean, I don't even think that was even last year.
Oh my God.
That was just a Halloween that we didn't see.
Yeah, okay, yes.
Yeah, because last time we saw Halloween, it was really extravagant, and it was really huge, but it still wasn't that. So I actually thought that that was all pretty good. It's like, don't leave me, the ladies got me! Oh, but then the whole point is to scare Phil.
Yeah.
So scaring but Phil was pretty good.
I wish they hadn't telegraphed that. I totally knew when he got the phone call.
He's like, are you in the house?
And she denied it. It's like, oh, you're there.
Well, I knew she was there. But I thought what she did a whole phone thing where everyone's like on the phone, but they could be at different places. I thought she did like a chain or something. I didn't realize that all the kids were there too. So that was, but I knew they were going to get him because I was like, you left your keys upstairs. I was like, dude, you know what? You're going to leave that house unlocked.
Just,
I would have had to leave it unlocked for one day, for one night.
Yeah, you know, for one night. Yeah. It's Halloween.
Not my house. Don't own it. I'd have to left it, but yeah, that was all pretty good. It's a pretty good episode. The storylines, Cam.
Oh, and the princess. The princess in the costume.
That was cute.
That was cute.
Yeah, it was. Yes, like, because yes. My mom's a princess. No, your mom's not a princess.
I love the part where Jay's talking to the dude in drag.
Oh, yeah, because he thinks it's a woman.
Right.
And Joey's just like, just leave him alone.
Because I was like, I think that's a guy. Like, when we were watching it, I was like, I think that's a guy. Oh, yeah. I was like, I don't think he knows that's a guy.
No, he does not.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
So I think all the storylines this week all worked for
me. I thought the way they intertwined was really organic.
Yeah.
Yes.
So thumbs up, Modern Family.
All right.
Next up is Big Bang Theory. And the only reason that Ronnie hasn't seen it is my fault. Because it was on... I watched it on the Apple TV like after... later. And then I was like, oh, you can watch it on the Apple TV later. But then I never showed her how to do it. So she didn't see Apple... She didn't get to see Big Bang. Sorry.
It was a fun episode. They finally addressed the thing about Wallowitz's... You know, when I was in space... Which, you know, that was the last word. Oh, that tag with Buzz Aldrin.
That was pretty good. And he goes like, yes, I get it now. But the whole thing also was, it also dealt with all the couples. Like,
yes.
It dealt with Sheldon and Amy Farrah Fowler. Them trying to come up with the perfect couples Halloween
costume.
And what they came up with was actually pretty good. I liked it.
Raggedy Ann and Raggedy C-3PO.
Yeah.
Or Raggedy C-3PO.
Yeah, it was pretty good because he wanted to be... C-3PO and R2-D2, and I was like, you're going to put your girlfriend in an R2-D2 costume?
Oh,
are you
God.
Kidding me? And she was like, yeah, I don't want to do that. And so she was like, well, I don't want to do... he's like, I don't want to do Raggedy Ann and Andy. And so their compromise was...
Well, I love the line, we compromised. I lost.
But I actually thought their costumes looked cute. And then I like this week's also is Penny figured out that Leonard was smart.
Penny and Leonard's booty call in the lab.
Oh, well, geez. No, but it was mainly because they said, you know, she should take an interest in what he does. And she's like, you know what? That's not a bad idea. So she goes to his work, and she's never been there before. And she asked him, you know, oh, so what do you do? And when he showed her the stuff that he does in the lab, she was like, this is awesome. Like
she got hot.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And she actually
take your clothes off.
Yeah. And he was
here?
Like,
yes. Okay.
She is now turned on by smart guys. And she's just like, because every time she goes to his lab now, she'll be like, what are you working on? And then he'll show her the experiment. She's like, that's hot.
Go Penny.
And they have a great TARDIS you know, a TARDIS runner in the episode.
Too. Oh, right. They actually put a TARDIS in the episode.
They put a TARDIS in the episode. No way. Okay. And they're making out in it.
Oh, no. What was funny is they were like, what does the TARDIS have to do with scary things? It has nothing to do with the scary things. He's like, that being said, we better have a TARDIS.
So, and also, Stuart took credit for all the work that Raj did setting up the parties. So
right.
Raj was upset.
Oh, well, Stuart did it to pick up a girl, though, so yeah, I think that's mitigating circumstances. So he was like, yes, I'm not really totally depressed right now. Why do you ask? yeah, it was a good episode.
It was fun.
Yeah. Thumbs up. Right. Next up is Vampire Diaries.
Oh, my
wow.
God. Wow. Wow, I don't know. Where do you start with it? I just love Elena and, oh, God, what's her name?
Rebecca?
Oh, yes. Rebecca. Oh,
oh my Woo, God. Rebecca.
Bismack.
Oh, geez.
I love their war. Their war is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know.
I just wonder how long it's going to go on for.
But how long can it, you know?
I just think that at this point, I think that Elena has to get one in on Rebecca to at least feel calm, because right now Rebecca has she's killed her, the upper hand. She's killed her. She's done all these things to her. She set her up. She did all this stuff, and I feel like Elena at least has to get one punch in to actually feel like, okay, I can let it go.
Yeah, but she drank upside down. You know, she did a kegger upside down, even though it gave her like the venom or whatever. But still,
that was pretty good.
That was awesome. You know. Yes.
And I was like, oh no, she's important again. Like, that was the only thing that I was weird about. I was like, now that they made her a vampire, she's just a regular vampire. But then Klaus is like, no, you are now important to me too. I was like, really? Come on. So
Well, the big thing with what is it called, the five, or like,
yeah, the I call him Buffy the Vampire Slayer, because yeah. Basically he's like I have these tattoos and only a potential can see the tattoos, and I was like, he's a potential slayer is what you're telling me? Okay,
a potential hunter.
He's a slayer because they have special powers. They're super fast. They're you know,
but
they have
but
powers.
They're calling them hunters.
I know, but they're slayers.
Lest they be sued by 20th Century Fox.
I'm just saying, he's a slayer.
Right.
So, Buff the Vampire Slayer.
Buff.
Buff. Oh, that's perfect. Buff the Vampire Slayer.
And so apparently, Jeremy has the potential to become one. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. They actually make Jeremy useful. I like it.
Interesting.
Aside from the seeing dead people thing?
Well, the seeing dead people is semi-useful. Him becoming like a slayer, like a full-blown, you know, having abilities and stuff. Yeah, that's...
I wanted Bonnie this episode.
Oh, yeah, she wasn't in it. Yeah.
Which she wasn't in it at all, huh?
Uh-uh.
No.
That happens. She'll be in. She won't be in for a couple episodes. And then
she's probably got one of those deals, like 15 out of 22 or something.
She's got something. Like she always goes missing, MIA.
Right.
But I still thought it was really interesting, and I liked that Elena was having all these problems with her, you know, holding
transition.
Her transition, controlling her rage,
go get like a, I don't care, somebody off of Skid Row, just, you know, just talk and be done with it. I'm so
shame
sick of
you.
Elena. It's like, go get a murderer, I don't care, you know, something.
She's
like,
falls from the CW, there's no Skid Row in that
town. I know, it's like, where is she going to kill somebody from? But I do like the fact that the whole thing that Damon is all about moderation. Yeah. And Damon is like, you know what? I'm going to teach you. And I was like, thank you.
Yes.
Because
you mean Stefan is all about moderation.
No, Stefan is all about you can only do
that.
Yeah,
right, that's
yeah, he's
right.
All iron grip. Okay. And Damon is all about moderation. He's like, you can eat
control.
But he's like, you can eat people, just don't kill them. You know, he's all about that. And Stefan's like, you can't kill anybody. You can't eat any. You know, he's all like, you can't do any of it. And she's not strong enough yet to be able to control it. And he is just now getting that, but he doesn't know how to teach her that. So, and he actually admitted it to Caroline that
yes.
he doesn't
that
know how
nice
to teach
scene.
Her.
I like that scene between the two of them.
I did too.
I really like Caroline. Because,
I did too.
You know, especially everything she's gone through.
And
she's
grown
a
lot, yes.
She's become a fun character.
Yeah. And I think that actually Elena, it really should be going to Caroline because Caroline just recently went through what she
yes.
went through.
That's a
but,
good yes.
you know, you got to maintain her tension with Damon and Stefan, so now she's going to get Damon to teach her. But I think Damon is also going to be a good teacher, too.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to not make her boyfriend jealous, she should have gone to Caroline. But
yes.
whatever.
But you gotta, when you have a love triangle at the top of the show, you got to make the brother boyfriend
It's got to work. So, but I do think that Damon's going to help her, and I think that she needs to get this under control, and right now she doesn't. And Stefan's totally not helping her. And I think his fear...
Going to Matt for occasional bloody calls.
Bloody.
It's blood, bloot.
But I think that Damon is... Not Damon. Stefan is correct in that... He's looking at Caroline. Caroline used to be one way, which was really shallow and very unlikable. And then once she became a vampire, she became a different person.
Yeah.
Right.
And he is afraid that Elaine is going to become a different person.
Won't be in love with him. Exactly. That will be in love with David.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what it looks like is happening.
And that's what the audience wants to happen.
Well, that's true, too. But it looks like, and that's the thing, is any teenager at the, I think that goes with real life, which when you're 16, 17, who you're in love with is totally going to be different than the person you're going to be by the time you're 20. It's just, by the time you're 25, any of that, you're a totally different person.
Or 125.
Right. Right. So I think that he has a legitimate fear, and I'm glad that he sees it. Oh, and speaking of Big Bad, I like the one quick scene where Klaus is actually working with them, and they're like, we have this note that says the biggest evil we've ever seen is coming. He's like, oh, I thought that Klaus is a pretty big evil. And he's like, if I say so myself, I think I am. So they're like, what the heck are you guys talking about? And the fact that Klaus knows what the heck is coming and all the rest of us don't sucks. But,
right.
But now I'm intrigued.
Definitely.
I'm intrigued. So.
Yay. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Yay, Vampire Diaries. All right, next up. We're going to talk about Last Resort.
Damn.
This was a great episode.
Wow.
Okay. This is probably the best one they've ever had.
Let's just get this out of the way. Let's take two subplots and characters we don't really care about, and maybe if we put them together, blonde wife and,
Yes.
And sexy scientist or...
Well, yeah. Sex yeah, they actually should, now are working together, and working now together. It's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
right.
So we'll see if that yields any fruit.
Yeah, I think that's and I like the fact that she's not fooled by the best friend.
Yes, no. That was.
I like that she was very much like, oh, they sent him here to make me not trust my husband, and she's like, but I know the other one woman, and her little speech was great. I was like, that was awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
But let's go to the island.
Yes.
So we had two things going on. We had the negotiations happening, and we had the submarine fight happening.
Oh, jeez.
But both of them were equally tense.
Yes.
Yes.
One do you want to tackle first?
Submarine.
Let's talk about submarine mission. I thought that... I hope that Grace and Cobb can kind of see she knows what she's doing.
Oh, I think this
is the episode, at least, where we see... She knows what
she's
doing.
Right.
I mean,
and he sees it too. I think this is the episode that
he actually saluted her.
Yes.
He finally. Yes. So that tension hopefully will be gone. The way.
Because he was really irritated,
and it was getting really one note.
Yes, it was starting really one note. Yes.
But yeah, the mission. Yeah, tense. Why is there a French woman on my boat?
He's like, are we planning to surrender anytime soon? That was awesome. And what's so great about that line, and I was like, man, if you don't know the joke about the French, then that line won't make any sense to you. Oh, man, that was pretty good.
Yes.
That was pretty good.
I could do with a little bit less of, Wonder Seal. Yes, we know seals are amazing. I know some in real life, and they are amazing. But they keep saying, they keep giving him impossible tasks, so we've got this much time, and oh, no, it's like, come on. We're not going to kill him. It doesn't look like any of the series leads are going to go anytime soon.
Right.
Yeah, but it was still... I didn't think he was going to die either, but it was still interesting because I was yelling at him. I was like, finish the mission, and he finished the mission. And I was like, all right. And after that, I was happy, whether he died or not. It's fine. I'm not particularly attached to him, so I could have gone either.
Some of my students thought, oh, he's so cute.
No, not really.
Aw.
Yeah.
Let's get to the negotiations.
That was the crux.
Oh, boy.
Well, the fact that he actually... Andre Brower played his first officer against himself. Like, he knew that the only way to get the best deal is to turn his own first officer against him.
But, the thing that's interesting is there's probably going to come a day where they're going to go against each other and it's not going to be a ploy.
Yeah.
It's going to be for reals that, they keep hinting at it and they keep kind of doing it. Oh, just kidding. Oh, I was manipulating you. But because Andre Brower,
he's a little crazy.
He's playing it just right.
Wow. He's just a little
he's
bit crazy.
He's on top of that razor between insanity and, you know,
brilliant.
Right.
Brilliance.
Yes.
Yeah, because I kept thinking I was yelling at the television when he turned down that first deal. I was like, it's a good deal. What are you doing, man? You know, so, yeah, that was.
But he knows, and he has truth on his side. Like you said, but it's like,
yeah,
razor thin because of
truth on your side is against an unstoppable problem. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, in a situation like that, it doesn't matter that he has truth on his side. And he knows that. Mm. You know, it doesn't matter. And waiting to be able to do the truth, he knew he was never going to be able to tell his truth. He knew that. So,
well, that's why he kept insisting that it had to be an open trial.
Right, public trials.
Right, and he knew that, but he knew that wasn't going to happen.
Well,
but he had to push him that way. You know what I mean? Yeah, but I think you're right, Lee, because even at the end where they finally, you know, got confirmation they thought on the sub, tear it up, you know what I mean, and everything just
escalated. Yeah, they were
going to
betray him.
Because truth didn't matter. If they could get a different way to close the situation, they try to take it. And oh my God, you know, Gracie's father, you know what I mean? In the end,
that was
thank
crazy.
You, Admiral, you know?
Jeez, that was awesome.
That was amazing. Crazy.
But I mean, that's a split second decision. You know, he knows that they're about to kill his daughter. What do you do?
Yep.
He's like, all right, got to save my daughter's life. Let's do this. So I respect him for it.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting that there's so much going on in the real world beyond just this...
The island?
The island and the small sphere of influence. Because Pakistan got nuked by the U.S.
Oh, right. That's
and
true.
Things
yes.
are going crazy. I mean, you mentioned that China invades... Is it Taiwan or somebody?
Where did
China
invades
somebody.
Yeah.
And that's like a... If that happened in the real world, that'd be huge. Unless it's like, oh yeah, this happened.
No, but it wasn't that it wasn't huge. It's saying that... the U.S. has actually, because of what they did, no one respects them anymore, and people are just doing whatever the heck they want.
Yep.
Though, actually, I would think that them firing off a nuke would make other countries be like, oh, they might fire off a nuke. So, I don't know. It was a really tense episode. It was really well done, really well acted. I was really impressed. So,
yeah.
Thumbs up.
Definitely.
Watch Last Resort.
Please.
Yes.
Next up, let's talk about Person of Interest.
Woo.
And this was a standard episode, sort of, but it ran some interesting parallel lines with the guy they're supposed to be protecting was basically a hitman.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And Reese didn't have a problem. Once he found out that his job was to protect him, he didn't have a problem with doing that. But what was interesting was Finch. Finch was very much like, why should we risk our lives to save him? He's bad code. And when he said it, I was like,
he did not go there, but he did.
He's
you
like,
know? Oh, jeez.
And then I liked it. John was like, what are you talking about, bad code? What does that mean? That just means that Root really got to him more than he's aware.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's freaking him out a little bit, too, that she really got inside his head. Mm. So
yes.
Because I thought it was interesting because I don't think in season one he would have protested so strongly against saving somebody.
Especially when saving the hitman would also save the girlfriend.
Right.
Right.
And he was like, screw the hitman, just save the girl. And he's like, really, you're going to let me let this guy die? And he's like, well, he's not a good person either anyway. And Reese was like, I was this guy.
Exactly.
You know,
in
he's
that
like,
parallel, yes.
Yeah. And he was very much like, I was this guy. Everybody can change. And that was kind of like the message at the end where Finch was very much like, oh, yes, people are not code. They can evolve. And he should have, it's not like a new lesson. So it's kind of weird that he had to have that reiterated to himself.
But like you said, again, I think it's everything that happened with being captured by Root. You know what I mean? He still like has PTSD. You know, it's like he's still trying to, you know, sort of get back.
And got a little Stockholm apparently too.
Oh, you know what? Yes. Yep. Yes. That's a good point. Yes. You know.
No, I thought it was a good episode. The I thought it was when Carter found out she wasn't happy that the dude killed people too.
Oh, right.
And he had to say,
yes.
It was an ambush. He was going to get whacked, so he had to kill him
first. And she was like, well, fine, bring him in. Which is, you know, she's like, let him tell his story. Except that he's probably wanted for a bunch of other murders.
Oh,
so.
I'm sure.
So I'm sure he wouldn't have wanted to do that. But
oh, my God. I loved at the last scene or at the end where Reese goes back to the guy who did sort of the killing. And so, and like, and
He finds the killer. He finds the guy that killed him.
And like, what do you think happened?
I don't think that guy's gonna, he's either gonna end up in that South American prison like all the other people.
Oh, that's right, I didn't think about that.
I wonder if that's where the dude is, the one episode from season one where there's like a gun on the table.
Yeah,
and
same moment like that,
I think that's where that guy is. Because they said that he's got a bunch of people that he's dropped off of in there. He dropped off...
Never seen again.
Right.
Although, it was... I was thinking this wasn't really an arc episode per se, but then you had Elias raised.
That was awesome!
Yes!
And that was really interesting.
Yeah, because he's like, to do this, he's like, I'm gonna have to ask a price. And I was like, what is he going to do? But he just wanted somebody to play chess with.
See, and that's what I was going to bring up when we were talking earlier about alphas. It made me think of that, because a worthy opponent, you know, sort of like, and so you see here with Elias and Finn.
That's why he said that, basically was like, everybody in this prison is an idiot. Like, I need somebody who's smart like me to play chess with. And he was like, if you are John's boss, then you must be smart. But I think it's two things. I think he wants somebody to play chess with, but I also think he wants to understand his opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think by playing chess, you reveal a lot about yourself
and how people think.
Right. And so he's been battling Mr. Finch from far away without realizing Finch was the one he was battling.
He was the,
The
puppet master.
Right.
Or
and
the
so
chess master.
Yeah. Right. And so he's like, okay, you're the guy that beat me all these times. Okay, let's see this. And that's really interesting.
I'm still interested to see if they're going to be making a connection between, you know, Elias and Root or some of these other...
Well, Root doesn't know who Elias is necessarily, so
right.
I don't
see... Yeah, but could you imagine if Root teamed with Elias and they were like...
She wouldn't, though, mainly because she only thinks that Finch is her equal. She thinks everybody else in the entire planet is bad code and not worth her time.
But if she took on Elias, kind of like Finch took on John, could you imagine if you had, like... the anti-person of interest. Or person of disinterest. I don't know. It just seems that they're doing something. I don't know what they're doing.
Well, I just think that, if you had that all of... It would be, but it would be very bad for them.
I know, which is why they're probably... I wouldn't be surprised... If they come around,
I like that now the team has, you have Fosco, you have Carter, and you also have the fixer, Zoe.
Zoe, yeah, she's coming back soon, too.
Yeah, so.
And Bear, don't forget Bear.
Oh, thank you. Sorry. And Bear.
Awesome.
So you have a good team. So I like the team.
And good teams need good nemesis.
I know. That's pretty impressive. Like, if you put the two of them together, I would be afraid.
Yes. Right. Which is why they should do it.
That'll be good.
Solid episode.
Yeah. Thumbs up. Next up, we're going to talk about Grimm. And this was basically, what's weird about it, if you've ever seen Supernatural, which I think all of us have, they basically did the first episode of Supernatural, which is the woman in white. Which is, you have the woman in white who's weeping by the side of the road because she killed her children. And then, except in Supernatural, she's drawing unfaithful men to their deaths because she drowned her children. And in here, she's trying to find replacement children to take the place of the children that she drowned. So it's a very similar story.
It's a real Latino legend, too.
That
was the big hype for this episode, based on the real legend.
Which is why everybody spoke Spanish. And I was like, man, I wish I spoke more Spanish. Though the thing that was interesting, because there was this moment where nobody spoke Spanish to this guy. And I was like, how is that possible? Because I'm thinking I'm living in L.A.
Because it's shot in Oregon.
Yeah. Because I'm like, I'm living in L.A. and there's no way that at least 20 cops don't speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of was like, what? But then I was like, all right. They're in Oregon.
But it was
never
a good way to get Juliet in the mainstream.
It was, and her Spanish was really, like, I believe she spoke Spanish. She must, because her Spanish was really good.
To.
Yeah.
And I love the whole thing with the grandmother telling her, basically telling her everything she's gone through and what she has to do.
It's about like, that, yeah, about that cut and everything. She's like, a cat got you, didn't it? And this is happening. And I'm like, who is she? I'm going to say she's Vesson. I'm going to go with that.
Well, he didn't.
We never saw her and Nick were never in the room together.
Or I'll be interested. You know, not that I don't want to talk about this episode in particular, but the whole thing I kept talking about, especially when they meet the, the cop from New Mexico who comes to help.
Oh, yeah, she was cool.
She was cool. But I was thinking, why is it that no other Grimms are upset that Nick is letting all these Vessin go? And we're going to find out next week, evidently.
Yeah, because apparently next week we have another Grimm in town that thinks he needs to put order in this town.
But I just thought this episode was so-so.
Here's the problem.
It wasn't scary.
Yeah, because the thing is, the supernatural version of it scared the crap out of me.
It was scary.
Yeah, that was a scary episode. Mm-hmm. This one wasn't scary at all.
It wasn't scary at all.
But the thing is, Grimm is usually not scary. I'm rarely scared by Grimm.
You'd think that when it's a real... You know, it's a real legend versus, you know, one of their made-up ones, that they would, you know, put some extra boo in it.
But no, they didn't. Not really, no. But I did like the looks between the Renard and Juliet when she comes to the police station, and they just stare at each other and pretend that they're not staring at each other.
Please play this arc out.
I just want something to happen already.
Yes, please. Something happened 2 weeks ago.
All right, so... Thumb sideways? So, yeah. All right. I thought it was okay.
It was just okay.
Okay. All right. Next up, let's talk about Fringe. And it's not because the Fringe episode was bad, because it was an awesome episode.
You broke my heart.
I actually had, like, that was literally the last thing I watched last night before I went to bed, and I couldn't sleep.
Seriously?
I could not sleep. I had to go online and see what other people were saying about the episode.
Were they upset too?
Oh, yes. I just needed to know what other... Because I felt like I wanted to talk about it, but I couldn't because nobody was awake at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
I was going to say, what time did you go to bed?
There's a reason for that. It's
yeah,
the
I know.
Than that.
But that's when I watched the episode, and I was just like...
That's why you couldn't sleep.
Yeah, well...
That's your heartbeat beating.
Yeah, it was. And it was a good episode. Like, I liked all the stuff that happened in the beginning when they get the new tape, and they're trying to figure out, you know, how they're going to get to it, and it's super protected. And them going down to that basement.
Oh, and finding out that Walter's basically kept...
Something from...
An archive of all their... Fringe events.
Yeah, yes. That's fantastic. Because I was like, name that episode, name that episode, name that episode.
Porcupine Man, which we did twice.
Yes.
Yes,
exactly. But some of the other stuff I really directed, I was like, Tiny Dinosaurs. I was like, oh, I remember that one because they used the heat thing and then they captured it. I was like, oh, right, I remember that. So like, some of the episodes, like some of the artifacts seeing that, I was like, oh, I remember that from whatever. And though I was like, where's the police car with the bow on top of it? Like, I don't remember that. But yeah, it was kind of cool to see that. And the only thing that made me a little uneasy was what they chose to use as a very effective weapon.
Oh my gosh.
But it was created by David Robert Jones, who was basically a terrorist. So I was kind of like,
well, but what they're doing now, I mean, to the totalitarian state could be considered terrorism.
I know that.
It's
but
very Battlestar-y.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah.
It is. I was just kind of like, I felt a little uncomfortable because they were throwing those bombs all over, like people just getting killed just left and right. Like,
oh,
wow.
Yeah, but those loyalists, come on.
That's the same thing as Battlestar. It's like, you're a collaborator. You go out the airlock. So, yeah.
Got a problem with that?
No, it just made me a little uncomfortable. But the thing that really grabbed me was also the tension when they're interrogating that fake loyalist who's actually part of the resistance. And he's like, tell me about the dove. And I was like...
I thought they were going to go all scanners on us and make his head blow up or something.
Oh, no, well, I didn't think his head was going to explode. But I did think that the guy was talking about Broyles. And the tension that Broyles had. And he pulls out his gun. He takes the safety off. And I was like, don't kill Broyles. I was like, we just got him back. Don't kill him. And I thought that he was going to kill that... observer and then be on the run with everybody else. I thought that's where they were going, and then that didn't happen, so I was confused. But his reunion with Olivia was fantastic.
It was very good.
Wow.
It's like Agent Dunham. I was like, oh. And then she's like, Philip. Oh, it got me, man. And that hug was just fantastic. I was teary eyed. It made me really, really happy. And then they decided to destroy that happiness.
Oh boy.
I've suspected that there was just something, there was like something ominous going to happen eventually.
I figured it was going to be end of the season.
Yeah.
I didn't think episode 4.
Yeah.
I was bracing myself for somebody to die towards like in the last couple episodes.
Right.
Because that's when a series ends, you can kill some of your main characters.
Yeah.
So I figured towards the end of the season... somebody was going to die, and I was going to be upset, but I was prepared for that towards the end. I was not prepared for that now, especially because...
They were just starting to really connect. Right.
Yeah, they just got the relationship between parent and child really working on all cylinders for her and her mom and her and her dad. They had different relationships with both of them, and both of them were equally interesting.
Right, and plus she's the guide, you know, for this season. She's the one who knows what's going on and is taking it through it. So I don't understand why.
That's why they did it.
Because now they're going to be rudderless.
Because now they don't have that guide to bring them through.
And also she's like,
and because we loved her so much in her five appearances on the show.
Yeah.
That hurts.
It really did.
Most shows kill people you don't care about. Right. They're taking a page out of Team Whedon. You know, Whedon doesn't kill characters you don't care about. He kills characters you do, love, and you feel like somebody's ripped your heart out.
Yeah, I felt this one particularly, even more than like when they killed Tara. Because I was upset when they killed Tara, but I really felt this one. And which is so crazy, because she's only been in a few episodes.
Five episodes
and
total.
So it's amazing,
but that's a testament to the writing and the acting on all parts,
right? Because I really felt like she was part of the family. She really was part of that unit,
right?
And I really, really cared about her, and I care about the fact that what it's going to do to them,
it's going to
destroy them. It's not.
You said that look on Walter's face,
on Peter's face.
Well, especially that look on Walter's face, though.
He's like, yeah, you lose a child. He knows what that's like. And he's
So I think we're going to see Peter go all Walter on some people.
Yeah, I saw the preview. He looks a little like he's going a little medieval, actually.
Wow.
The preview did not look good. The observers are not going to be having a good time if they get caught by Peter Bishop.
Yeah. Stay away from Peter Bishop.
But it was... Because I couldn't think of any way out of this. I was like, yeah, it looks like... Because I was like, did she get shot in the chest?
And I love the misdirect... This is one time where the network's publicity department got it right. The episode... The teasers for the episode said, you know, Broyles returns, but can he be trusted? And so they had you totally focused on Broyles. That instead of on this.
Yeah, that's good. They didn't go... Smart. They didn't go, someone's going to die.
And I hate that. Yeah. I hate that.
Yes, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's usually, one of these people is going to die. And it's the person you don't give a rip about.
Right.
It's the Maude Flanders.
Oh. And then she gave... Oh, she and then oh, she and gave the necklace back.
She gave the necklace back. And to make sure that they didn't slow themselves down by taking her... She grabs a neutron, or she grabs antimatter bomb.
So that they don't even try.
And, well, they can't. They've got 60 seconds to get out of there.
Right.
I just wish that evil lead observer guy hadn't escaped, but oh well.
Well, Peter's then you wouldn't have a villain.
Peter's got to give it to him.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Individually.
Yes.
And he did it completely. And the dude did it completely out of spite. There was no tactical advantage to it.
To killing her.
Yes, absolutely.
He
was mystified by this whole business of why did he go buy the necklace? Because they couldn't figure that out.
Right.
And then, you know, he probes her mind to find out and then figures out it's love.
And he still doesn't understand that.
He doesn't understand it, but he does it completely out of spite because they could have tried to, you know, break her. No, he does it to spite the others.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Because this means something to them. She means something to them, so I will hurt them.
Now it works.
Which is why Peter...
But the thing is, the reason the observers don't... They don't understand what people's response will be to that. Like, they don't get how people react to those kind of events.
Okay, that's a good point.
Because they're like, oh, I will now hurt you. Okay, you don't understand what happens when you do hurt someone. They then retaliate.
Yes.
And it
galvanizes the cause even more because Edda is not even just within the family. Yes. Look at what she's done
with the movement. Well, yes. The fact that they showed in the trailer that her poster is now
she's now a martyr.
Exactly. She's a martyr for the cause.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just so depressed, mainly because there were so many questions I had about who raised her. How does she even know about her parents? How did she know how to block an observer? I got a million questions, and I figured that they would slowly be answered.
Although we know that it takes a year to learn how to...
Yeah, but how does she know how to do it in the first place? She's the one teaching everybody. Who taught her? Yeah, there's so many things.
She's a bishop. This isn't just some, you know, she's not some, you know, ragamuffin. She's freaking, you know... Wow. Hedda Bishop, granddaughter of Walter, son of, or daughter of Peter and Olivia.
I mean, I understand what you're
saying. Great genes.
She does. Did not help her dodge a bullet, though.
Damn.
So that's totally
whatever sick. They fire from those things.
All right. So on that depressing note.
I know. Like, what a way to end the podcast.
It was intense, man. It was intense. So if you guys have.
It's week for TV, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of the series is just like, man, it's ripping you.
I'd really like to hear what you guys have to say about the episode, so if you have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, we're on Facebook, and you can listen to us on getthepointradio.com, Krypton Radio, Weedonopolis, and iTunes. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye!
Happy Halloween!